arranger, recording artist, and musical seashell virtuoso. Yes, he plays the seashells. That's Steve Turi with Rainbow People. It is a title track of his 2008 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I'm going to broach a subject that might be a little bit uncomfortable to deal with, but we should deal with it. And it's about the Hollywood sex crime scandals that have now spilled over into other worlds and is providing almost daily fodder to us, the people, as news. For some time now, the public has been fed an almost daily diet of stories about high-profile people in Hollywood and in other spheres accused of committing sex crimes. And now it has gone viral, as they say, with profuse coverage of sex crimes allegedly committed by high-profile folks in other areas as well. While it is the job of the media to provide coverage of such issues, I'm going to make the case today that we need to really reconsider the way this coverage is being done and the impact it is having on us all. All of us are affected by it. Now, I've been uncomfortable from the very beginning of this. I've been very uncomfortable with the idea of women, mostly white women, coming forward and telling their story of being victimized by powerful men in the industry. And then we saw men come forward telling their stories about victimization by men in the industry. And we have become accustomed to it now because the reports have been so frequent, so wide-ranging, we can't escape them. So in a short time, we have been acclimated and we have been conditioned to accept the reality of this kind of crime. But we need to ask questions. We need to ask questions, and we need to get some matters settled around this. Sexual crimes, or sex crimes, are of very serious crimes. And they're serious because not only are they a form of violence being done to a person, but also sometimes it is fatal. Sometimes it puts the victim of this kind of crime or the survivor of a crime like this into a whole different state of mind. Sometimes it lasts an entire lifetime. So it's not a small matter. It's a very serious matter. But what we're seeing is very troubling. I commented on it before, but I want to add some more dimension to it today. You have women coming forward. This is how it started. Women coming forward and charging Harvey Weinstein, who is a big deal in the movie business. He is the head of Miramax, a company that has produced blockbuster movies and has launched the career of many an actor and actress, apart from the fact that it is one of the top grossing movie production companies. Okay. A charge is made. And Weinstein is the target of this charge. Weinstein is the bad guy here, as we are told. in every instance that we saw news coverage in the early stages of it, it was a Weinstein festival. People, no matter what the crime, in Hollywood, it seemed as if people were just coming forward with all these tales of sexual assault and tales of predation, and Weinstein was at the center of it. And immediately, you know, the wheels started churning. The public relations nightmare that this was, I'm sure, for his publicists and the people who are associated with him. His company took a nosedive. Before it did, Weinstein himself was fired from his own company, but it continued to go downhill. Many in the industry, many companies, leading companies and leading people in the industry severed ties. So it meant that his company took major financial blows and was all but destroyed. But as I heard the charges, never once did I hear mention of the police or some investigative authority leveling the charge. I heard individuals coming forward with charges, which is one thing, but I didn't hear and still haven't heard of any law enforcement authority, any police authority actually making a charge. And that leads me now to ask the other question, which I've asked before. And that concerns the role of the media. People come forward and say, Joe Doakes raped me. Then they report that famous person says, Joe Doakes raped her. And it's left there. And the source of all of the information about this alleged rape is coming from famous person. Well, to my mind, that does not constitute a valid charge that the media should report on as is. And yet they've been doing this for quite a while now. There's no verification. There's not even a hint that famous person has gone to some authority within some reasonable amount of time of the crime being committed, recording it, at least filing a report that provides authentication that it's on record. The person, famous person, has gone to the police and reported it for the crime that the famous person says it was and still is. That hasn't been done in most of these cases that have been publicized. And yet the media did not exercise what I consider to be due caution. And the basic journalistic obligation of finding some kind of way, looking for some way to authenticate or validate or confirm this public report made by famous person A and famous person B. That is a problem. For me, in my view, it's a problem. And it's a problem because it immediately subjects whoever is being targeted and reported on as a rapist. I mean, that is a nasty charge to be saddled with and not have the wherewithal, the ability to respond except to say, no, it didn't happen, or the person is lying, which are, I would say, predictable ways of responding, but they're not nearly good legal ways to respond. But the person will end up in that situation. And the response, no matter what it is, will be dismissed because that person has already been supplanted by these charges. And they're not yet charges. This is the thing. Simply because a person comes forward and says, John Doakes raped me, doesn't make it a charge. But the media continue to report these things as charges. No, they're just people coming forward and making a statement. That's what they are. People coming forward and making a statement, the veracity of which is not yet known. But immediately coming forward and making a statement like that now imposes an extraordinary burden on the person, whether they did it or not. That's what happens. We have to ask some questions about that. Is there no mechanism in the nation's newsrooms to remind reporters of the obligation not to defame a person? And some legal concepts, like what is a charge? Somebody coming forward and getting in front of a bunch of microphones and saying something does not make a charge. And when a news organization is fast and loose here because it's a sexy story. You see? It's a very sexy story. It's a very, appealing story as far as the media are concerned. All you have to do when that camera goes on is report on the record that this happened. This person came forward and said such and such, and then they leave it right there with perhaps an obligatory sentence that the target denies all charges. That's not enough. Because now you are fully immersed in the world of defamation and libel law and slander. And the news organizations, which should be particularly careful about these kinds of things, seem not to care. Because it's salacious. It's a very, tempting, smutty, dirty, nasty stuff. And you have the privilege of exposing people and the awful things they do behind closed doors. And their public persona notwithstanding, you're exposing the sleaze bags that they are. So that is more important than observing good ethics and good journalism practice, good journalistic practice. You got a story. In the meantime, that person who's being accused is torn to shreds. He's finished. He's done. His business is ruined. His wife divorces him. His family is shot to hell. Nobody respects him. He's as good as dead. They're playing fast and loose with this stuff. And it is going to come back to bite them. This is not something you can be so casual with. But here's the thing. Tis the season of woman power. Women flexing their political muscles, women taking charge, women not being afraid anymore, women coming to the fore and stating their case. Women have strength, women are doing, this is the climate of all of that stuff. And it also doesn't seem to matter that there's a great possibility that not all of these stories are true. And certainly that you cannot simply mimic the pratings and the claims of women or anybody where these kinds of crimes are concerned and automatically accept them as true. You're doing yourself a disservice because it means that you're not being professional. You're doing the alleged victim of the crime a disservice because you're relieving that person of the responsibility to see to it that she does what she needs to do, or he does what he needs to do to authenticate a crime against you. Anybody has done something this grievous, I understand it's very emotionally scarring, and there are all kinds of reasons that people would be shut down and completely dissuaded not to say anything. I understand all of that. Because that is the nature of this kind of crime. People react this way. They shut down. They close up. They close this experience out of their minds. They don't speak to anybody about it. Sometimes for years. It's the nature of this kind of crime. However, at some point, if you really, really want to do something about it, you do at least the minimum to record it. And when I say record, I mean put it on the record. This happened to me, and this is the person who caused it to happen to me. But now there is a movement that gives people some credence. They give you a little bit of elastic. And that elastic allows for consideration, sympathetic consideration, that you might have suffered in silence. And this is the time you can come to the fore and be public about what happened to you. That's one thing. But it is also the undercurrent here that I'm talking about. And the undercurrent is the movement that says disregard what would normally apply. Don't feel too bad about cutting corners or asking for special dispensation. Just say what you have to say in front of the microphones and then go about your business and things will work out from there. And that is just so irresponsible to do. It is extremely irresponsible to do, but it is so typical in many ways, of white women in this country. They don't have to observe any rules. And they are exceptions to the rule. And what they're doing in these cases, they would not allow to be done to them, to be outed by somebody who's absolutely lying, seeking to destroy their character, to destroy their professional gains in life. They wouldn't want it, but they are not curbing themselves from doing it to men. I find it very troubling that they could be so fast and loose about something like this, because it is so devastating. It is equally, if not more, so devastating for men who are totally innocent of any crime as it is for a woman who has been assaulted. What happens, or what should happen, when, let's say, women came forward as they did, quite a few in succession, and media people are pretending they don't know how to cover these kinds of stories? Instead, they feed into what they consider to be the public appetite for prurient stuff, when in fact, they are the first step in getting things straight. All right, when did this happen to you? I can't remember, or I forgot, or, I just put it out of my mind. Is there anything that allows me as a reporter to authenticate what it is you are telling me? Have you been anywhere? I can't report that story then. I'll have to beg off. Because if I report that story, a charge now has a specific meaning. So when you hear people say on the news that such and such a person charged another person of this kind of crime, understand that's not a charge. It becomes a charge when some prosecutor says it's a charge. Until then, it's just a person speaking, a person leveling an accusation. And now a responsible reporter or responsible news organization would not allow this to be covered simply as a person saying, so-and-so did this to me, with the expectation that something legal is going to happen. No, if you want something legal to happen, you go tackle it in the legal arena. You go see a prosecutor, you go down to the local station house, you register your complaint, and then it goes from there. But what they have been doing very surreptitiously is engaging the media to come into this fray in a sympathetic way and in a one-sided sympathetic way. They're siding right off the bat with every person who has come forward and said A, B, C, D, and E about this person who raped me. That is not right. It is not even professional. It is not even ethical to do. And what you will have now is that a number of people who believe themselves to have been unfairly accused, you will see a torrent of lawsuits. And those lawsuits will have to do with defamation and libel and all kinds of things. But the damage would have been done because it concerns reputation, character. And beyond that, it concerns a number of other things. The capacity of the person to live in a community the way he or she always has. The ability to earn a living. Just a mere accusation could cause so much disruption in a person's life. The loss of a job, you got to get out of the community. Sometimes you may even have to leave the country. All kinds of things go on that seem to be unimportant. Now, mind you, I'm not saying here, and I don't want to be misinterpreted as being seen to be defending sexual predators. Absolutely not. But I'm saying the way this is going, it's the wrong way. And it is going the wrong way because it is expedient. One thing is expedient. No news organization wants to risk being viewed publicly as hostile to women. So they will bend backwards to present a very sympathetic view, not an objective view, but a sympathetic view. Two different things. Their job is to do journalism, not advocacy. And if they do their jobs well, it means that we could depend on the media for unbiased information. Now, I don't know this to be a fact, but I strongly believe that in this context here, where you have one side, the victim, quote unquote, being given just broad latitude to do what the law can't do just yet, which is indicting a person and then putting them on public trial and then convicting them all at the same time in one fell swoop. And we now have a kind of feast going on, and people are saying nothing except, oh, did you know that such and such a person, some movie star, has just come out? People being outed who don't need to be outed. Crazy kinds of damage, recklessness is going on in the name of coverage. And I stand right now to say that this is not journalism at all. This is, if it is journalism, it's rotten journalism. And it is doing great harm. It is encouraging an atmosphere that appears to be giving license to just about anybody, or maybe they pick and choose who they would give license to without subjecting them to any close questioning. My gosh, you have people coming out of the woodwork 30 years, 40 years. It was like, it's like the Bill Cosby trial. People coming out of the woodwork and automatic assumption of innocence on their part. Not that the act didn't happen. Innocence in the sense that they know they're stretching the boundaries here. Their lawyers have to know, which is why the lawyers do not speak when it comes to answering questions about the particulars. The lawyers speak in general terms, and then they coach their clients to speak irresponsibly in specific terms, which may or may not be true. The lawyers are off the hook because they can't be faulted or called to to note for doing something that is actually not just inflammatory, but libelous. And injurious to other people. So this is the game that is going on, and I spot it. And I want to say that I spot it, and it ought to stop. News organizations need to start doing journalism. Now, this does not in any way excuse or ameliorate in any way what people who are accused of doing these things might have done. But I am saying, for the way this is being handled, this is a legal matter. It is not gossip. It's a very serious situation. This is not a gossipy thing. These are very serious legal matters, and news people need to act like news people and understand what is gossip and what is news. If you cannot authenticate something, you have no business reporting it. It's as simple as that. It's across the board applicability here. If, as a journalist, you cannot authenticate anything being, quote, charged, you have no business reporting it. It's salacious. It may get you some more viewers or more readers or more listeners. But in the end, it's not journalism. It's not ethical. And I would even go so far as to say it's really not legal to do. I recall the Central Park case. Okay. Central Park case was the case of a woman, a manager on Wall Street at a Wall Street law firm. I'm not law firm, but a Wall Street firm. Having an early morning jog through Central Park. And she was set upon by somebody, beaten within an inch of her life. This woman was a miracle that she actually survived. She was beaten in a coma and unable, of course, to speak for herself or to tell anybody what happened. And next thing you know, there was all this hue and cry by officialdom in New York City, a demand for retribution, a demand that whoever this did this to her be found and punished. Even Donald Trump at that time put out a full-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death penalty, even though nobody knew who did this. But there was heavy pressure. The mayor at the time, Ed Koch, insisted that whoever did this should be found immediately. And let's bring them to justice. Well, okay. They found, what do you know, they found the attacker. And then they found it was more than one. They found four. Maybe even five. Attackers. In a short time, they just found them. And their names were plastered all over the place. They were identified, their pictures were shown, and everything. And there was great boasting in the city of New York that these horrible, horrible, horrible people have been found, but they're now in the clutches of the law, and they will pay for this crime. my little paper with an excellent reporter named Peter Noel broke the story that nothing could have been further from the truth. These young men could not have committed the crime. They did not commit the crime. But nobody wanted to hear it because it was all, the announcement was made already. They were identified as guilty, sentenced to multiple years in prison. We exposed that how this crime was solved. Cops, dirty cops, just rounded up a bunch of guys and said they did it. You see? In the meantime, their lives were railroaded. Their families destroyed, their reputations in the community destroyed, their futures destroyed, their families totally wrecked by these false claims. And it was the story that brought to light that this could not possibly, these young men could not possibly have been connected to this crime. And that was just journalistic, going out and asking people for things, for facts. Good old journalistic work. But we had to defend the truth. The truth was that this whole thing was a major cover-up, and it was no small matter. And here, too, as we are seeing this constant reporting of these crimes, we also are being told, essentially, these are the facts. And how are they the facts? Why are they the facts? They're the facts because these women said so. Or these other men said so. Since men have come forward as well and reported rapes, being raped, or sexually assaulted. At some point, we are going to have survivors or victims of the crime, I should say. With survivors, there are people who serve as the voice of the person who is deceased. Sometimes people are fatally attacked. But we have to have some new kind of, not new. It is standard procedure. When I was training people in journalism, one of the courses that was on my curriculum was ethics and libel. And it was taught by the leading libel lawyer in the country, Victor Kovner. You can't be a reporter without knowing libel law, the law of defamation. You can't run a news organization where people are ignorant of these things. And this is not asking special favors or asking people to go beyond the call of duty. This is normal procedure. But you look at these cases that are being talked about, and you see where the media has just cast aside its responsibility to ascertain some kind of facts before reporting it and having it printed or seen or spoken about, and impugning possibly the reputation of individuals for no good reason, then you have the power, in the case of some of the complainants, you have the power to attract attention. even if your intention is to lie for whatever reasons. Maybe you think there's money to be had. Maybe you're looking for a payoff. Maybe you're mentally ill and this didn't happen at all, and you made it up for your 5 minutes of fame. Who is standing at the gate saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. We can't do this. We cannot, quote, take your side, unquote, unequivocally, without doing our job as journalists. So I wanted to bring that to your attention because it has been bothering me quite a bit. And in a proactive way, I see how it has happened so often to people of color. How many men, black men and Latino men, are in jail because somebody made a charge? And they are seen as belonging to either the racial group that gets deferential treatment or preferential treatment, or they are part of the power elite for whatever reason. The question about veracity and authenticating these events never falls on the women. And people are saying, the people may say, well, you're being very harsh and hostile toward women. No, it's about across the board, victims of sexual crimes have to step up to the plate where it counts. And it's not about newspapers and television cameras. It's about you taking care of business, of filing reports, making sure there's some legal reference point that corroborates your claim, making sure you understand how this is going to work. You see? And reporters and editors have no defense, as far as I'm concerned. No defense for this kind of work, shoddy work that they're doing, saying, well, you know, this guy, let's say Weinstein, he's nobody likes him anyway. He's not going to do anything to us anyway. So we have him at our mercy. This is not right. I'm just warning that at some point, this will come back to haunt us as a society, as a whole society. It will come back to haunt us in ways we cannot imagine. When people are accused and they're condemned without the benefit even of the most basic of defenses legally to clear their name, and they're convicted before they could even clear their name, and this kind of crime, forget it. That's a permanent stain. And I see too much of the recklessness. I see too much of the idea that we are all powerful media and we could do whatever we want, including refusing to ask people for evidence of their claim before they, quote, report on it, unquote. Well, we have some minutes left at 888-874-4888. I had wanted to give at least half of the program to hear what you have to say, but what are you thinking? I mean, it's gotten to the point we're not even thinking about these things when they come across the news, and, you know, we just think it's news. But what we're witnessing very possibly is the absolute decimation and destruction. 8874-4888. We have a couple of minutes left. We can talk about this. And in the meantime, somebody who can check what's going on Are the powers not with me today? They're interrupting my program by dropping my call. What is going on? I don't know. 888-874-4888. Kat from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you, Ms. Lee?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad you gave us an opportunity to call in on this particular subject matter. And you're dealing in from a journalistic viewpoint and how the story is reported, and that's a very great commentary in which you did. But I'd like to just share a particular story. I'm a retired New York City correction officer, and I remember there was a correction officer. He was accused of raping another correction officer. As things would stand out, the media picked up the story, and as things went, it was false. They were engaged in a mutual relationship. As a result of it, that particular story is damaging. No one wants to be falsely accused of rape. So as things stand, I remember Barry Slotnick, as the attorney, he did a press conference, and he talked how debilitating and how, you know, that whole scenario plays out. What you said, your family members, people in the community treat you differently because somebody made an allegation of rape. So these stories by these women, most of them at the time, especially around the Hollywood area, these women in that particular field, everybody does not get that media attention when they accuse somebody of rape, especially, you know, women of color, black women. You have a 15-year-old child who said she was raped, and most people did not believe her. You had a black woman who worked in a hotel, and she accused somebody of rape. They didn't believe her. So everybody across the board does not get that. Most of the time, if you're women of color and you accuse somebody of a social ladder or somebody on a higher plane, you're not going to get the time of the day to have that person brought in front of the criminal justice system. I see this whole thing as I like to say, National Organization of White Women campaign. I don't have a card, won't be getting one, won't be registering for one. But we need to be on the lookout for the false flag operations that's going on.
Wow, quite a mouthful there. Quite a lot you put on the table there, Kat. Thanks for calling in. And we have to talk about this because especially this is what the world would not appreciate because they haven't any idea that there are two different worlds. What Kat just pointed out, most people in Black and Latino communities are very well aware of the entirely different treatment these kinds of crimes receive in non-white communities. Very different. And this is why I'm saying, because we are so sensitive and aware of this, we have to bring it to the attention of the media that they're being really crazy right now in the way that they're covering these events. Very nice, loose, fast, loose, because the objective is to feed into the salaciousness of the story rather than practice good journalism. Here's the situation. We have some time because we have quite a few calls in queue and we're not going to be able to get to them today. But because the subject is so important, I beg your indulgence that we should get to them tomorrow. I will definitely dedicate some time to that so that we can get your comments on it. It's very important. It's very important. And I do like the idea of people participating in the program. But we can take one more short call from Ed from Queens. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Yatrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed, how are you?
I'm good. Basically, I have to agree with you as far as the journalism aspect. Since when does a news story is taken as by word of mouth? I mean, what happened to investigative journalism? What happened to holding a story to account with sources, with verifiable sources and facts? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm not defending anybody who's sexually a predator or a sexual abuser, what I'm saying, where are the facts? Where are the facts? Where are the facts and evidence? Where is the story coming from? Where are the competent journalists that we used to have years ago to where you could get some qualified news and not this garbage? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous.
I agree. I agree with that. And that is my call, actually, about that a lot of this is happening because, you know, the journalism is shoddy. And they're getting a pass on it because people enjoy the salacious aspect of it and are willing to overlook the very serious implications here. But we are a community, or we come from a community, many of us, where we have had prolonged experience and exposure to this and the damage that it can do. And so we're serving as a kind of warning system to tell people this is not the way to go. This is not the way to go. And to exercise greater caution. And newsrooms are totally accountable for this because they're supposed to be trained. They're supposed to know when to report a story of this type. I mean, you have no facts at all and you just go on blind faith that the person who's telling you something is telling the 100% truth. And the person being identified as the attacker is being identified 100% as an attacker. This is not good. I want to thank you for calling in today, and we will have some more time tomorrow to flesh out your thoughts on the subject so that we accommodate all the calls that are still hanging on, but we would not be able to accommodate because we're practically out of time. So stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. And you can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. See you tomorrow. Thanks.